Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Good, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Big O! Showtime!
Yeah, I gotta put on my good sweatpants.
Are you making egg foo young in the kitchen? I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's fact. If you don't like the cats, you can stick it up your ass. There ain't no fuddy-duddies at a Lincoln Bath. For the strong link, go to like the DLFGS.org. And the IC channel is a LinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the cats are just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1002 of the LinuxLink Tech Show. On the show tonight, we got Pat.
How's it going?
Hey, and we got Joe.
Yep, I'm here.
And I suspect Joel will be... Oh, there he
He's
is,
here.
Joel.
He's here.
Joel! 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 Is he, though? Is he?
Is he, though?
Well, he's there in...
Probably
Avatar.
Too busy with a quarter pound of meat in his mouth.
That's it. What I was going to say, Joe, is that I think I've reached my limit here with running Ubuntu on this laptop. It's not that I don't like Ubuntu. I think it's a wonderful distribution. I'm kind of fed up with looking at the little notification in the upper right hand corner that tells me like on a weekly basis that it's going to, I have to close Firefox so it could update the Firefox snap.
Yeah.
And,
look,
like,
I'm not an Ubuntu fan, and I am not a snap fan.
So the thing is, I don't know what I need to do to make this happen, but it keeps counting down, and it says to avoid disruptions. So when I close the app, I don't see it doing anything. It doesn't notify me of anything. And when I open it back up, it's not like... There's Joel.
Yeah, I'm here.
All echoing.
Mute yourself, Joel, when I'm talking so we don't echo. I gotta get a new... I wanna get this hard drive. And this is... May is the month I'm gonna do it. And I'm gonna put something else on there. I'd even
go
straight Debian, over this stuff. But, yeah,
Debian's fun.
Yeah, I have Debian machines. I got two Debian machines.
Go with something a little bit more odd, like Garuda or...
Well, I was gonna go with Manjaro, cause I've never played with Manjaro before.
Yeah.
You'll like it.
So I got a SUSE, I got two Arch machines, I got a Ubuntu and three Debians.
I mean, you could always do Fedora, but that's a little boring.
Fedora's what's on the other hard drive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I was using Fedora for a while. Yeah, I really, you know, Fedora is solid and it's great. It's just, I don't know. I'm just not like, I like stuff like Arch. I love Arch. And it's like, well, why don't you use Arch? Because I'm running Arch on two machines. I want maybe something a little different.
Well, Manjaro is kind of Arch, so.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
but it's a little different.
So is Garuda.
What is Garuda?
Garuda is like Garuda.
Okay.
It's a heavyweight version of, Arch. It's basically made to have everything you could possibly need and easily be able to get everything else. It's designed
to... Isn't that just Arch?
Well, maybe. But it's got a lot that's already built in, and its packaging structure just is designed to make things easy. And you can always...
It's not based off of Arch?
Yeah, it's Arch Linux-based distro with ButterFS.
Do they have their own repositories then? So they don't... Do they do it? Isn't that what Manjaro does? Manjaro has its own repositories, but it pulls from the Arch repositories and, kind of, I don't want to say repackages them necessarily, but they make them available in their own repos and mirrors, as opposed to you going directly to Archboard.
No, I think that theirs is their big thing is their ease to install, and then their application installer front end.
Maybe I'll check it out. Does it do a network install, or is it something that is a beefy install?
It's a, I think it's a pretty beefy install, and they do have probably have a couple of different options. Let me go to their site. They have the KDE Dragonized Edition.
Installation for. So this one
Dome is- Edition, Cinnamon Edition, there's mine. I'll get that one.
God, you know what? It says
XFCE.
The minimum requirements, 30 gigabytes of storage space right now.
Yeah, it's pretty beefy.
4 gigabytes of RAM, a video card with OpenGL 3.2 or better.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't even know. Like, when did OpenGL 3.3 come out?
I'm not sure.
Oh, maybe I'll check it out.
You can always try MX if you're looking for just something different.
MX Linux. Cooperative venture between AntiX and MX Linux. Mm-hmm. Debian stable distribution. So many options. Too many options to choose from. Too many. Just, I'll do what Joel does, install Windows.
Nah, you don't have to do that. I don't typically install it. I usually don't have to unless my hard drive fails.
You know what, Joel? I'm glad that you're here because I wanted to bring this up. And I was hoping that you would be here. I know you use HashiCorp Vault, right, Joel?
Yep.
Okay, so one of the projects I'm currently working on at work is that we're trying to streamline get more streamlined and reduce our dependency on certain services and all together. And We use Vault we've been using Vault for a few years. So, oh gosh, this has got to be going back 7 years now. Somebody wrote a wrapper application wrapper library around the Node Vault library. So the Node Vault library is just pretty basic and it allows you to get and retrieve stuff. But they added this wrapper around it, this wrapper library, which handles a whole bunch of things without you having to set that up, so to speak. Like, it's going to make sure it knows the Vault address, and it's going to find the Vault token, and it's going to discover what it is you need to pull from Vault, because it uses that configuration file that is going to repro. It's called, we call it the secrets registry. It's just a file that's included in the config section of all the applications that lists in a JSON object of the Vault, the application name, which is used to get in the Vault path, what the key is called in Vault and what we want to set it to in the application environment. So it handles getting all of that stuff, pulling it together so that it will retrieve, go out to the Vault client and say, give me this stuff from the Vault. And when it comes back, it sets it up for the application environment. And it does a pretty good job, right? So it does exactly what we need it to do, without having to have all that code duplicated in every single application. It's just a single library that we need to include that wraps around it. But the biggest problem is that because it's an internal wrapper, and it's not really something anybody else would use, because it's very specific to our environment and how we use it with our applications. We have it store, it's in a Artifactory repository for Node.js. And we used to have a few other things that we were pulling out of there. In fact, our Artifactory repository used to mirror the Node.js repositories, but we whittled down all our dependencies. We got rid of all of that. Except for Node Vault Utility. That was the last dependency that keeps us pinned to Artifactory. And the problem that we have with that is when we're building applications, when we're doing the installation and everything, it's got to use our Artifactory, which means we need to be on the VPN to use it. So there's tunnels for like where we have the applications in GitHub and Google being tested and installed and built and running. Those places have, when we're building it, have access to Artifactory to grab that stuff to build the image. But locally, it's all dependent upon being on the VPN. And so we wanted to get rid of that restriction and looked at a bunch of different options for doing it. Ideally, because we're pretty much all in on Google Cloud, it's like, why not use Google Secrets? And that's what I've been working on for the past week or two.
Is it included with what your deal is with Google? That's the main question there. Cause we actually switched to HashiCorp Vault from AWS Secrets Manager because of cost.
Well, that's the thing. It's included cause we're paying for it, right? If you enable it in the API. So, we get like really deep discounts from Google, like, of course, like it makes sense. The more services you use, the more of a discount you're going to get because you're still paying them more money. So, like ideally, if we could get out of Vault completely and not pay for the license anymore, it would be cheaper to probably go with Google Secrets completely than, you know, having the hybrid or whatever. But I don't necessarily know the full cost of those things, but for us, it was more of being able to step away from another third party service, and be more or less reduce some of the complexity that we have to do and maintain. So not only does it get us out of Vault, but it gets us out of Artifactory. Right. So that's two things that we could push away. But we're not now this is strictly for running these applications. There's other things that we're kind of forced to use Vault for, largely because the infrastructure team has set some stuff up that is dependent upon pulling information from Vault. But even though we're using that, we're only using Vault with that because that's how their system is set up, not for us. But anyway, I digress on that. But what I was going to say is I was looking at three possible options that we had. One was, we're going to continue to use Vault, but not Node Vault Utility. We're just going to take the functionality of Node Vault Utility and put it in all the applications. And like I said, that was really kind of impractical because there would be an incredible amount of code duplication that would have to go into every single application to replace what the No Vault Library was doing, right? The other one was we can continue to use Vault, but instead of the application running and pulling the secrets from Vault, we would inject those values into the container through Kubernetes when it goes to run the application. So then our deployment process would inject the secrets. It would GitHub Actions, because we use the workflow, would reach out to Vault, get the secrets, and you inject them through Kubernetes, make them available for use in the container. There was that. And that was like, there's a third one, which was use workload identity. And I believe I talked about this before. Workload identity is specifically like in Google Kubernetes Engine. Since we're all in on Google, when you're consuming Google services, there's a couple of different ways that you can authenticate. And, so there's tokens or there's, service account keys, and the service account key slash credential is essentially a JSON object. And it's taking that service account authentication object and it's tied into GKE so that when your application deploys, it grabs the service account and that is available to the application, and it's tied to the Kubernetes service account so that it's all hands off for that service account, being able to have the pass credentials. It works like that. Now, going that route, it would make sense to just bag Vault altogether and go with Google Secrets. That second option with injecting it in the secrets in the Kubernetes environment, we could also have done with Google Secrets too, instead of pulling it from Vault. So we ultimately went with that third option, workload identity and using Google Secrets. So, I'll tell you what, Joel, the two things I don't like about Google Secrets, right? I mean, it's almost essentially just like using Vault. It's a non-hierarchical system. It's just flat, right? You know how you go into HashiCorp Vault and you can have a structure in there? Like, you can have different teams and they all have their own, like,
yep,
folder or directory, however you want to call it. So you could have it broken down that there's team A and this is their global secrets and this is their application secrets and they're like separate paths. And then there's team B with separate paths and all that stuff. Not at all with like Google Secrets. It's just you get this big, just you got one location and all your secrets go in there. Secret and the other thing I find kind of weird and it's a little bit odd is that it's HashiCorp is a key value system. So you have the key and then the value for that key. Very simple. Google has the key or the secret and then the version of the secret. So the version is actually the value. And what you do is you create a key, a secret. I gotta stop calling it a key because it's not a key. You create a secret. And that secret will hold versions, which are the values of the secret. And so if you update the secret, essentially what you're doing is just creating a new version. When you want to retrieve the value of the secret, you have to tell it what version you want to retrieve. Now, you can tell it, like if you don't tell it a version, it's going to give you the latest. It defaults to latest. And you can say latest, right? But every version, unless you specifically delete it, every time you update the secret, it's just creating a new version. So if you wanted to go back to a previous value of that secret, you just need to know what version it is that you want to go back to. And, you know, that is nice, I guess. I don't really foresee us doing that, but that's neither here nor there. I guess what I'm not too keen on is before, like currently in Vault, we have our own space, which is our team name. And then in there we have it broken down. There's like global secrets, which are used across the board, where we have like GitHub information and different things in their global secrets. We have our application secrets. So you go into the application and then there's a list of all our applications and you go in there and then it's a list of the environment that's available for that application. And you go in there and then it's got a list of the secrets. On Google Secrets, it's just all in one flat, like you're looking at it in a directory. So there's no breaking it apart, or sectioning it off. So we kind of like, I don't know, it's just ugly. I don't like it. But that's what we have to deal with. And there you go, Joel. So be thankful. You got something nice like HashiCorp Vault. How was AWS Secrets? How did they work?
I don't even remember anymore. It's been so long, you know, I have a feeling it probably worked better, like with, AWS specific services. And I'm going to be really honest. We really don't use a lot of those. I mean, we use EC2 and S3, of course, but like when it comes to like building, EC2, we don't use the AWS tools. We use Terraform to do that. All right. And we use, Ansible, in the back end, Ansible Cloudable is what we're using. I believe that we got a whole bunch of stuff that we wrote on top of what the standard stuff is, if you know what I mean.
Right.
I'm still kind of getting used to that. In fact, we've been getting some training on the SaaS product because we're going to start supporting that. And one of the things that they were doing is, well, this kind of irritates me about my work sometimes. But on Managed Cloud, we all use FortiGate for our VPN connections. We can't get to anything on Managed Cloud unless we're on FortiGate. The SaaS team uses Cisco AnyConnect. And I'm like, oh, it almost feels like a government operation. But then, anyway, the documentation they wrote up for accessing, basically what they're doing is setting up an SSH tunnel, and then we use a pgAdmin to talk to Amazon's Aurora DB. All right, that way we can do queries against the read-only replica or something like that. All right, well. You know, they gave us, they literally have like a, portable PuTTY package for Windows. And I emailed the guy after our session this morning and said, hey, we're going to have to meet up sometime. I know you provided the Mac instructions too, but I tried those and they didn't work. So I'm like, you know. And of course I didn't really have time today to fiddle with it because I was on call all day up until, I got someone to cover me from 5 to 8 today. I hardly ever do that, but today I just got to 5 o'clock and I said, I'm done. I can't do this anymore today. It's just one of those kind of days.
Some days you just need a mental health day.
Yep. Yep. That's kind of what I did, but. And then, of course, I go to get on the show, and the irritating thing is, for some reason, the shortcuts in Mumble flew to Coop. So, I set up a shortcut in Wayland, And what's funny is I tried Wayland and X11 and neither one of them worked, by the way, for whatever dumb reason. So in Wayland though, I just set up a shortcut to mute and unmute the microphone itself at the OS layer. And that seems to be working pretty well. But yes, I just did that. We got off work and ordered some Wendy's. Because
did your son deliver it?
No. He's only been doing like an hour or so at a time, but he has made like a couple hundred in the month. It's okay. I want him to do as much as he wants to do. I don't want him to feel forced to like go work 8 hours a day.
Get a job.
Yeah, but
you tell him to get a haircut and get a real job.
Get a haircut. Get a real job. No, I don't even remember what song that's from. Anywho.
That's George Thorogood.
Ah, okay. Yeah, so that's been my week, and it's just these two clients that, like, are both pulling it. And kind of the frustrating thing with me, too, is since I'm, like, the senior person on the team, I'm like, okay, you know, and I told my boss this, I said, I'm not going to pick things up right away. You know, I'm like, and when I sit there and watch a ticket not get picked up for an hour, I'm like, yeah, I got to pick it up. You know, and that's kind of an irritating thing I've got now.
That's when I start saying, why the hell hasn't this been picked up yet?
Right. Oh, I've said that multiple times, but I've given up a little bit with it. I'm going to bring it up to my boss in the one-on-one, but that's what I got to the point where I'm just like, I'm stuck. And I'm like, I need to figure out how do I tell them that it's this, you know? All right. And so we all got on a Zoom session. I invited the client and all that. But right before that, I said, I ate my lunch at my laptop for the last 3 straight days. And I was on till 8 o'clock last night trying to troubleshoot this stuff.
No, people got to figure out that you need a break every now and again.
Yes. So boss said, ask one of the guys to take your on call tonight, take the night off. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, yeah. So, and I went to church and we did our study. Good study, but. The last 2 days, I made stuff in the kitchen. So tonight, you know, I had so much going on in the evening. I said, that's why I ordered Wendy's. It was actually, I don't know, it wasn't as good as it usually is. But the only question is, tomorrow, are we going to end up eating out? Because the only thing I got left in the freezer, that's quick would be some hamburgers, and that's what we just had tonight, so. But, and then I almost killed my printer, my new one.
I thought you were going to say your wife. I was like, no. Bro, don't do
no,
that.
No, well, I've been toying around and playing around with the cloud app, all right? So I sent, like, a Benchy. I was trying to burn some filament because I had like, you know, a tiny bit of a roll. So I just sent a Benchy to do that. And I was playing around with like, the bed leveling and stuff like that. It finishes, but I'm at church and I go to hit the app up and somehow the app started the thing to print again. And I'm like,
whoops-a-daisy.
Stop. It didn't end up stopping, and so when I get home, I finally look at it, and the CR Touch module had crashed into the model, that was already on the bed, completed. So, I just picked that up off, and I think everything's okay. I haven't tried another print since, but I might tighten up the belts on that axis just to make sure. Which is the newer ones are real easy to tighten up them belts because they basically just have a knob on the one side. And you just twist it. You don't have to get out an Allen key, which is kind of nice. So I'll try that. I might try just another Benchy because I got a tiny bit of filament left on the roll that's on there. But, and I think it's fine. It's just a bug, I think, within the Creality's app that causes that to happen. So, I think I know how way around it, that once I start the thing, I need to back it all the way out and then go into the workbench just to check it. And I think that'll stop it from doing what it did tonight.
You hope.
But, yeah, I hope. I actually printed out a drawer, a bracket and a drawer to screw on to the bottom of my desk. It came out pretty nice, although I ran out of filament halfway through that. I just need to go get the screws to put it in the bottom of the desk. I have some, but they're the kind that have a dome on it, and I don't think it'll work. I'll have to try it before I try screwing it into the desk first and see if the top of the drawer hits the screws. If it does, then I'll have to go pick up some other screws. But we're thinking about the countersink in it. You know, just had to make sure the head is wide enough to touch the plastic on the bracket. But I've been very, very happy with it otherwise. You know, just little things like that. I might just not sending print from the app. And all the other thing I also noticed with the app is for some stupid reason it has ads in it. And I'm like, thanks, Creality.
Creality loves you.
Yeah. The Royal Match ad, if I still see that ad one more freaking time, I want to scream. Because it's always a Royal Match ad in games and stuff. Even like, if you haven't played the original Plants vs. Zombies in a while.
Long time.
Yeah. There's like a certain point. You have to be in the game before you can have the ad-free version. And I bought that a long time ago, okay? Of course, but, you know, since I hadn't loaded it in years, you know, all that game progress was missing. So, it got worse, man. The app literally, oh, man, it was horrible. I'd finish a level, then it would show me an ad. Finish a level, and show me an ad. It's like, when I finally got to the point where I can restore the purchase, I'm like, please do. Because I can rip through adventure mode in a weekend easy. I mean, it's not hard. But and then I started playing around with Plants vs. Zombies 2, which is not that bad. It's actually pretty good. But mobile gaming, it really just sucks nowadays. At least that's my opinion. Ugh. Like, can I just buy the fucking game?
No, you can't. Well, yeah. You can, but you're just going to have to buy it again.
Or I'll just have to buy stupid diamonds or coins or some bullshit like that in order to get farther. But 22 days until my vacation. I never looked more forward to it.
You have vacation?
Yeah. This one, I'm not even taking the family. I'm going by myself. I'm trying to talk them in.
Where are you going?
I'm going to York, for a thing in my high school. Family didn't want to go anyway, so.
Don't like driving.
No. Luke actually starting a summer, adult youth league with him being the adult this time. Somebody he bowled with, who's in probably his last year of youth bowling, needed someone, to bowl the adult. So he's doing it. He's getting really good too, but not good enough to be on the show or to make the PBA yet, but he's getting there.
What show is that?
Like a PBA TV show where you make bank. You know, money. Okay. Real money. So, but he's getting better. His average is getting closer and closer to that ever elusive 200 average. So, and we got the car back too. He was hit by somebody without car insurance and didn't have a driver's license either. Go me.
Did they run away?
No. No, the police got their information. Our insurance got their information. So my hope is that they sue the hell out of them and they get some money back so that our insurance doesn't go up again. So it wasn't too bad.
It was your fault for having insurance.
Yes, I guess. Yeah. Well, that it's only the law in Ohio that you're supposed to have financial responsibility, a.k.a. insurance. So
it's the law in basically every state.
For the most part, yeah.
Doesn't mean people actually do it.
But I took it to the same place that we took my other car. And they did a good job. It just took a little longer. Although, and I don't even know why they told her, but apparently one of the guys that was working on that car fractured a bone, and I'm like, how do you do that? So, but they got it done probably before they, because initially they said, well, it's going to take 7 days or something like that, and that. It got close to the end of that, and they're like, oh, it's going to not be done until, you know, like Tuesday. And I'm like, great. Well, it ended up being done about a week and a half. So it's, I think the parts issue is mostly resolved. It's a lot of it's labor nowadays with pretty much everything. Although I'd love to be able to buy another Raspberry Pi, but, you know, there's none of them.
Fourth quarter.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully they bring out the Raspberry Pi 5.
Unlikely.
Yeah, well, we'll see. But, there's something I was wanting to talk about other than printers and stuff. I can't remember what it was. There was food. Oh, my cast iron. I'm loving it. I went back to the smaller pan this week because I didn't need as much space. The big pan, I don't know how often I'm going to use it, but when we went to the store last week, one of the things I ended up picking up to help assist cleaning those is that, have you ever seen that chainmail cleaner or scrubber for a cast iron?
Yep.
Yeah, I got one of those. So, insides, I thought the inside was a sponge, but it's actually a rubbery bit inside. So, it does okay. It does okay. Generally, I don't have to scrub it that much, but maybe we'll have pancakes tomorrow. I got a keto pancake mix in the cupboard.
Make and a frittata, baby.
Then I could use my griddle that came with that set. I haven't used that yet. But
you can still make pancakes and make a frittata, too.
I don't understand the point of keto pancakes. They're not actually any lower in calories.
No, they're not really. They're lower in carbs, which is a good thing. But
not really.
Yeah. Well, they're not tremendously lower, no. But, you know, it's better than eating regular pancakes. Okay? And using sugar-free
syrup. No, you just paid more for them.
Well, true. Yeah, because it's like $5 for a small bag.
See, now, If you go get a thing of like protein powder and then like mix it 50-50 with the keto pancakes, then you're good to go.
I've got some, I picked up a different flavor of, the vegan protein powder. I got a chocolate. I mix it.
I picked up some, Fruity Pebble Whey Isolate. It's actually really good. I'm eating some of it right now as ice cream.
There you go.
Mm.
But it, I actually found, have you ever seen the frozen food section of Life Cuisine Meals? Mm-hmm. They have like cauliflower, based wraps and stuff like that. They have a Hot Pocket now. Literally, that's what it is. But it's made, the crust is made out of cauliflower. I ate it today. It was decent. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to buy it again, but I have to buy at least two or three of the frozen things because you can never count on having an uninterrupted lunch. In the last couple days, before I went up to the office, I just took it and stuck it in my mini fridge has a little freezer section. So I kept it in there till it was time to eat. Like that. Relatively close to freezing still.
Well, I meal prep for work.
I already have a microwave up here too, so. Because we had to.
And
we.
I'm supposed to be going into the office like three times a week.
Are you?
But are you? I'm only going in like two.
Oh.
But still, I need meal prep for when I go in.
Yep. Mini fridge was the bestest idea I ever had. Or actually, I didn't have it. My wife did.
I got a mini fridge out here, and it's a tiny deep freeze. But I have one of those out here too.
I got turkey in mine that I bought at Thanksgiving when they cleared the turkeys out.
I have a bunch of ground turkey in mine.
I got to figure out what I'd like to do is I'd like to spatchcock that and put it on the pit boss. It's a 13-pound-ish turkey. It hasn't really been warm enough to do that yet, though. I mean, it's... I probably could have done it. I just haven't yet.
Warm enough to do what?
To fire up the pit boss and cook some meat on it.
Wait, I smoke shit in the middle of winter.
It's harder for the pellet grills. The stick burner, you can definitely do that. I've done that. When I had my old Brinkman, I would fire it up and put like a pork loin or something on it in the morning. Smoke that sucker all day. Came out delicious. But see, my wife doesn't like a lot of smoked meat. I don't know what the hell's wrong with her, but you know. But yeah, so I don't know exactly what we'll do tomorrow, but I am relative, like I said, I'm down about 12. I could do a better job, on snacks and stuff. I've been trying to. I've got like,
as long as you're trending downward, who cares how quick it is?
That's true. I am, and it's just taking a while.
It's better that way. If you lose it too quick, it's just going to all come back.
Yep.
If you lose it slow, that means you're changing your lifestyle in such a way that it'll stay off.
2 weeks ago, when I wasn't on for show 1000, that day I lost about 5 pounds because I didn't eat nothing all day. It squirted everything else out.
Yeah.
Ugh, it was awful. But, what did I do the other night? I forget.
And you can make snacks with your macros.
Yep. Y'all finished The Mandalorian and Picard yet?
No, I haven't finished The Mandalorian yet, which really, says something about my interest level.
Yeah, I'll say this season probably wasn't as good as season two was. Yeah. Picard, the last episode, was fantastic. Kind of leaves it open for another series, too. Not with Picard, but with other folks.
So, surprised they didn't, somehow magically make Picard 20 again and have a new actor come in and do it.
Kind of is. I mean, his son's, like, right around that age and an ensign now, so... At the end of the series that
I meant the character Picard.
Oh, I know. Yeah. But also makes me wonder, they didn't say he was Jack Crusher through the whole season. That was Beverly's and Picard's son before he became an android.
Jack Picard.
Right. Jack Crusher is his name. That's what they called them all on the show, but me, I think we should change his last name.
I mean, all that time, Beverly and Picard are on the Enterprise. You never thought Beverly was the type to not tell Daddy.
Mm-hmm. But it ended really nice, and if you loved The Next Generation as much as a lot of people my age did. You'll like the last episode if you haven't watched it yet. So, but that's the only thing about those series, though. That they're 10 episodes long, 8 episodes long. Mandalorian was 8, but did you see the second trailer for The Flash?
I heard that. There was a viewing of Flash, and it was super good.
Yeah, well, they have, you got Michael Keaton Batman and Ben Affleck Batman in it. And I'm like, how, what?
Well,
when did the second trailer come out?
This week.
Oh, well, of course you're gonna have both Batmans in it.
Yeah, so, and, trying to think who else is in it, cause there's in the timeline of the Flash movie, because basically the Flash is going back in time to try and save his mom, I think. Yeah. So, and of course that didn't really work. It screwed everything up. So, General Zod is still living. Yeah, the General Zod from Superman 2. A different actor, of course, but.
You know what? It's not General Zod from Superman 2. It's General Zod from Superman. The one before he fought Batman.
Oh, yeah. Okay. In that universe, yeah, but.
Which is weird because I thought Superman. The one that came, mute yourself, Joel.
Yep.
I thought the Superman, I'm trying to think of what, so there was Superman 1, 2, 3, 4, and then the other Superman that came out, was it in the late 90s or early 2000s, was supposed to continue off of where, what, Superman 4
left off?
Yeah,
but it doesn't matter with Flashpoint Paradox.
Yeah, no, I know that. But then they had, what Superman did, so then the next Superman, am I correct? The next Superman, Zod, came down. It was like a repeat of Superman 2. Zod came, and then they used Zod to make,
Doomsday.
Doomsday, yeah. Didn't they use Zod to make Doomsday?
Right, in the comics, yeah.
Not in the comics. Because in the comics, Doomsday was this genetic creation that they kept, like, they would make this, they grow this baby in a vat and throw it out, and it would get torn apart by creatures on this planet. And then they take the DNA and do it again and kept doing it until eventually the baby killed the creatures, and that was Doomsday. Like, this ultra power.
Uh-huh.
God, but Yeah, so
Supergirl's in it too.
A version of Supergirl.
Yeah, but it's not the Supergirl from the TV series, and it's not the Supergirl from the 80s.
Right.
So basically, in the comics, DC version of multiverse.
In the comics of I don't know specifically the comics, but I do know that the cartoon that they made of Flashpoint Paradox, they had like a scrawny, never seen daylight Superman that the government had found and locked up in a bunker. And then I think that they're doing the same thing, it's Supergirl this time instead of Superman.
Yeah, but you know what? I'll say this.
Still gonna watch it.
Go ahead.
I am, you know, Michael Keaton being in it really has me, like, I'm like,
right?
And I would have probably watched it anyway, but because of that, like, I've been so disappointed with the DC movies. Like, especially the DC villains, they always suck. Right? They always suck. They're generic cookie cutter villains.
Suicide Squad has not been completely terrible.
Which one? The first one?
The first one.
It wasn't bad, but again, the villain in that? I don't even remember who the villain was. Wasn't it one of the members of the Suicide Squad?
Yeah. Yes, it was.
Yeah.
The Egyptian spirit, or which spirit, that's what it was.
I don't know, you got Killer Croc, and like Harley Quinn, and they're both at the same level in that movie?
Yeah.
You know?
But the fact that Michael Keaton's in it is going to make me want to go see it regardless.
Yeah, I am going to want to go see it. From the viewing that there was at whatever con it was played at, it was just absolutely incredible and people loved it. But there is still the issue with Ezra Miller. And there's a lot of pushback going on right now with people saying it doesn't matter how good the movie is. If you watch it, you're supporting Ezra Miller and the crap that he did, despite the fact that the guy has mental issues and he is seeking help. He still did screwed up things.
Yeah, and I hear what you and that's another on that same vein is like, I don't know, I keep hearing they're like, oh, they're recasting Flash, and when it's all said and done, there's going to be a different Flash, not Ezra Miller. I have no freaking clue. Like,
right, you can't really do the guy from the TV shows. That's not going to work in the movies.
I like that. I like that guy on the TV.
I like him too. I don't think it will work with how they've done the movies. Now, I think that they're basically going to have to get rid of everybody from the movies anyway. I mean, Aquaman is pretty good, and Wonder Woman is pretty good, but if you're no longer having the Justice League that you had for the Justice League movie, because you have to get rid of Ezra, and you no longer have Ben, and you no longer have the guy that was doing Superman.
Yeah. Oh my God.
My understanding is they're keeping Jason Momoa, and they're keeping Gal Gadot. Those two are
which makes
staying.
Sense.
Well, that, yeah, that
they're
makes
staying.
Sense.
They're keeping those two actors.
Everybody
else is changing. I don't know about whether Flash is changing or not. I've heard it both ways.
Yeah, and they've either got to write out Cyborg entirely or get a new person for Cyborg, and that's going to cause them flack no matter what they do. And nobody's going to like having a new Superman. And yes, there already is a new Batman, and that kind of went over well. So we'll see.
Well, I don't know if they're not going to use that new Batman, are they? Patterson?
They might.
And maybe that's
what choices do they have?
Yeah, I mean, maybe that, like, when it's all said and done, you're going to have Gal Gadot, right? Jason Momoa, Patterson, and Ezra Miller, and all new people. We'll see. I still would have liked the scene. Like, this is another thing I don't get. What the fuck is up with the Snyderverse? I keep hearing they're going
forward. The Spiderverse?
With that.
I saw
Snyder.
Snyderverse.
Snyderverse. Okay.
Like, I hear, I'm like, he's talking about they're still making the Snyderverse movies. And I'm like, really? Are they? It's going on HBO Max or something like that? Whatever HBO Max is. Or is it Netflix? I don't know which.
I'm excited about the new Spider-Verse movie. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
I know it's going to change a lot, especially with that character, but yeah, it kind of needs to because, well, they need more material.
Right. I'm looking at the cast list, though, for The Flash, and I had a double take. The guy who played Peter from Office Space, Ron Livingston, is in The Flash movie. As Henry Allen.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's the last thing I remember him in was Office Space in the 90s.
I think it was really cool that in the Flash TV show, they got the guy from, you know, first Flash TV show.
That was cool. I like
that.
Not
only to play the dad, but to also play his original Flash character.
Yep. But this one might be interesting, and it's definitely much more interesting than every one of the newer MCU movies.
I like the MCU movies.
I'll be there for
Guardians of the Galaxy next week.
Yeah, I'll be watching Guardians.
Me, there's still been a fall off though from after Endgame, where they're just not as good.
Some of that is burnout.
Yeah, this is true.
I mean, there's just been so many, and it's been going on so long, and eventually, you know, Hollywood's got to find something else to stick to for a little while, and then come back to the comic books.
And then I heard, like, a celebration last week or so, Star Wars Celebration in the UK, that they're making another trilogy with Rey at the center. Again.
That might be interesting.
Could be.
Completely get away from the old stuff.
Yeah, I think it's the general idea there, you know, but...
Oh, absolutely. Like, get the hell away from the Skywalker stuff.
But Rey is using the last name Skywalker instead of
Palpatine. She's a Skywalker now.
And fine, but just let's move on. Let's just take those characters and go in a completely...
Let's have a proper space opera here.
Yes. But, and that's the other thing too, like, there's rumors of... what was his name? The guy who was the blue skin alien in The Heir to the Empire
Admiral
book series.
Thrawn.
Admiral Thrawn, thank you.
Yeah, they're going to bring him in the Ahsoka series that's coming up.
Yeah, he was mentioned in The Mandalorian this season, so.
I don't think he's blue on the TV show.
Yeah. That's probably right. But, I mean...
You know what I think, and I was talking to my wife about this, and I'll say we think this. I think the biggest problem with Star Wars' weakest point, is that it wasn't made for this. It was a ridiculous, like, fantasy, generic movie to sell toys. And
it's basically a space western when you look at it.
Space what?
It's basically a western set in space.
Which is why I called it a space opera.
And the more that they keep trying to pack into this thing, the storyline to begin with is so weak. It is absolutely weak and ridiculous, and to pack all this stuff onto it, it doesn't hold up. Not like Star Trek. Star Trek, I think, is a wonderful universe.
Way more thought out than Star Trek.
Yes.
It is. Yeah, and that's kind of like how I felt. Like, some of the Star Wars series I can watch. Mandalorian was pretty decent. Some of the best Star Wars they had since before the
Andor was as good as it's gone.
Star Wars was kind of a complete story.
It was
the original, like, Well, two trilogies. But yeah, the original trilogy was a complete story. And
yes.
Star Trek was basically a structure.
Yes. A framework where they
a framework to do anything.
They literally could just have a new starship, a new,
new crew,
century,
new frontier,
everything.
Different eras. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, then that's where I think it's working. That's why I think that there is going to be another Star Trek series after Picard.
Not necessarily with Picard, though.
Well, they're doing Section 31. That's a definite, right? And they're doing
that's
the Starfleet Academy.
It's going to be a movie. The Section 31 is just a movie. Yeah, I heard about the Academy one, but they're, fandom's trying to take this the new series based on the events of what happened at the end of Picard. And they say they want to call it Star Trek Legacy. And I'm like, that's a horrible name. They should make it something completely different, but.
Sounds like a fan series.
Well, yeah. Is Discovery ending?
Yes, this season that's coming up is its last.
Discovery had another one split off of it, right?
Strange New Worlds comes out this June.
That's about as good with Star Trek right now, Strange New Worlds.
Oh, Strange New Worlds was fantastic last year. I mean, I loved it, Picard was too this year. A lot of people, there was a ton of fan service in the last season of Picard. I mean,
had the Next Generation crew there.
Right. Yeah, the only ones missing were like, Tasha. Of course, she's dead.
Dead.
Twice over, killed by Armus and then, killed by, a Romulan. It would be kind of interesting if they brought Sela back as a character, but, who knows? Yeah, we'll see. But I'm not want to say anything of how Picard ended, because I think if you haven't seen it and you are a fan of The Next Generation, you'll like it. It'll be interesting.
I should watch those. I like the first season except for the ending.
Yeah. I think probably the biggest problem with Picard as a whole was how unrelated to me each season was. Season 2 was completely different than season 1. And season 3 also, again, completely different. In fact, season 3 kind of kicked out some of the things that happened in season 2. When you finally watch it, you'll know what I mean. But it was very, very well done. Very great effects. It was nice seeing, if haven't seen episode, I'm trying to remember if it's 8 or 9. I think it's 9. They go back and retrieve the Enterprise D from the, from the Fleet Museum. So, because they needed one that was not possessible by the Borg.
Speaking of effects, did you feel, particularly in the last episode of The Mandalorian, that the effects went from spectacular to, are they filming this in claymation? To spectacular, sometimes the effects are like really bad.
I think like the creature, like when they saw the Mythosaur, that didn't really work for me as well. The last episode was fine. I had no problems with the effects in the last episode, but the only problem I had was just how easily the, Gideon was able to destroy the Darksaber. Oops. That's a spoiler alert.
But, yeah, that's a pretty big spoiler there.
Yeah. So, that kind of was weird. But other than that, I had a good time watching it. I thought it was, could it have been done better? Absolutely. But it worked for me. It was fun. And I'm not like some of these fanboys that are, you know, that are like, worst episode ever, you know, but, and I do like, I did like, Katie Sackhoff, seeing her as, Bo-Katan. It worked. I know she was also in the cartoon, so like you said, it worked. The only weird thing about it, I think the weirdest one with was the episode with Jack Black and Lizzo on it. That didn't really work for me too well.
Yeah, I haven't watched anything since then. I mean.
Oh yeah, that episode? Yeah.
Yeah. I've had my concerns since then, and it just hasn't really kept my attention, so I'll get to it, but.
Oh, I get that. It's like I started off watching and really liking the True Lies TV series, but like four episodes in, I'm like, yeah, I'm done. I just don't think, I think True Lies worked better as a movie than a TV series for me.
Jackie wanted me to mention, you guys should watch Lupin and Record of Ragnarok on Netflix.
Watch what?
Lupin and Record of Ragnarok.
Is Lupin related to the anime?
No. And they have the same roots, okay? The Lupin the Third anime has the same roots, except Lupin the Third, the anime, was about the great grandkid of Lupin, and so it was based on the Lupin novels, which is basically the French counterpart to Sherlock Holmes. There's more to it. Yeah, my wife is getting twitchy when I say it like that, but that's the quickest and easiest way to explain it. This story is about someone who was a major fan of the Lupin books and then is enacting some of the things from it, or using that as a guidance in his life.
Okay.
Jackie wants to expand on that.
Right. All right. So the thing is, all right, you have Omar Sy, big actor, right? He's playing Lupin, and it brings back to, it kind of goes from the past to the present, and he is calling it, when he is doing his escapades, he uses the anagrams that Lupin used in the books. Or if you break up the anagram, then you would see it was the title of one of the books from Lupin, or the stories from Lupin series. Okay. But it all starts off with the guy who had a major injustice served upon him, and he had to go through the system. So he uses Lupin as, because it was a big deciding factor, the book was given to him by his dad. And so Lupin is like, he's the gentleman thief. He's kind of the Robin Hood. He's gonna make politicians that are crooked pay, but at the same time, he's gonna try to make sure that the innocent are still kept safe.
Okay, so this has nothing to do with the anime.
No.
Okay.
They're both, as Joe said, they are both based on the Lupin stories.
Okay. Have you read the Lupin stories?
Yes. And I got Joe to read them too.
And you give them thumbs up, right?
I enjoyed them. I enjoyed them back in high school. I'm huge into the Sherlocks, the Sir Arthur Conan Doyle Society. Okay. And I like even the young children's books where Sherlock and Lupin face off. And my son even has one that's for like younger kids, like they're under 10, and it's Lupin, Sherlock, Watson, and Adrien Adler.
So Maurice LeBlanc was
the police officer.
Wait, wasn't he the author? Was he the author of Lupin?
No, off the top of my head, I'm bad with authors.
Okay. Yeah, because I was just looking at the books, and Maurice LeBlanc.
Ah.
That's what I'm assuming is. Huh. What year? I'm gonna have to look them up.
It was by 1905.
Okay, yeah. So he's 1890 to 1941 was when he was at. I guess that's when he died. Right? 1864, he was born and died in 1941.
And there's 24 books to the Le Bon series.
Woo! That's a lot of books.
And that's not counting the novellas. There's 39 novellas.
So you've read most of the Sherlock Holmes and the Lupin?
Yes, and I do the Sherlock Holmes. I also have the Sir Arthur Conan Doyle Society, and yeah. Every year they pick an author to write that becomes they pick an author that has written a Sherlock story, and it becomes canon.
So you're a big fan of detective stories.
I enjoy a book that I can't figure out the ending within two chapters.
Uh-huh.
I have that ADHD psychic that you're seeing too many patterns, and it's like, oh, it's going to be just like this. And you're like, oh, man, it is. It kind of ruins it. It's the same with TV shows. I want to be surprised. I want to not know how it's going to end. Kind of the same reason I like J.D. Robb. You might know her, but that's her pen name, but you might know where she is, Nora Roberts.
Okay, I heard of Nora Roberts.
She writes romance novels, but she writes murder mysteries under her pen name, J.D. Robb. But it's one of those mysteries, I haven't figured it out even with halfway through the book, even because I like to reread every book in the series before the next one comes out. That's like 60 books deep.
Mm-hmm.
So,
watch Knives Out. Hello?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. I'm thinking, and not really, it doesn't feel like that one to me. It's just...
No, I mean, did you see Knives Out?
No, I haven't.
You haven't seen Knives Out? Did you see Glass Onion?
Nope. I'm a book reader. I'm a book nerd, man.
Well, I thought you were talking about the Netflix show, and I thought maybe you might have seen those.
Well, we do. I just watch them with Joe. It just Knives Out and The Glass Onion hasn't hit our list of things that we have watched yet.
Oh, they're fun. They'll keep. They got an interesting. I don't know. Those are the last mysteries that I watched. But no, I like to read too. I like to read more than watching. I like to read it first and then watch the movie.
Absolutely. Yeah. You still have your Kindle, right, Dan?
No. I read on my
phone. You killed it.
I would love to check. I should check out some Lupin. How's it pronounced? Is it Lupin?
Lupin.
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 Now remember, the Netflix one is, it isn't. French, but they've dubbed it with English.
I'm fine. I love subtitles.
They've done a really good job both with the dubbing and the subtitles.
It's like I watched, it was on Prime, anime related, definitely anime, the live action version of Space Battleship Yamato, which is all dubbed, or not dubbed, subtitle. So it's the I'm sorry?
How was it? I'm interested in seeing it.
I enjoyed it. It pretty much followed the first season of what we call Star Blazers in the United States. So which was after the original anime. But I thought it was really done well. You know, you just gotta remember that instead of Wildstar, you got Kodai. Kodai
what year was that made?
Not long ago. It was in Prime Video, but I think, I'm trying to remember if you had to rent it or not. You might have had to rent it. I'm pretty sure I rented it. But let me look, I'll have to look in a Prime Video app. But if you were, you know, 6, 7, I was 6 or 7, because I was born in 71, it was like 76, 77 or 78 when the original anime was redone by Sunbow to create Star Blazers. But this is the exactly the, you know, the going against the Gamelons and the planet bombs and stuff like that. The battleship looked awesome, but
what happened, Joel? You looking it up?
Yeah, I'm trying to look it up. Let's see. There it is. It came out in 2010, actually. It's when that came out. And that's what I did when I did a general Google search. And it's looking it up on Prime Video. Oh, there's an English dub version of it. I might have to watch that.
Of what?
Spaceship Yamato, the live action.
I watched some of the new, what is it, Bash?
Yeah.
It's okay. The English dub.
Yeah, this says English dub, and it says the video is currently unavailable. I'm like, bummer. If I end up finding it, Pat, I'll send you a link.
Cool.
Yeah, because it was very good. And like I said, it's all subtitles, so you got to read too. But I mean, the effects they did were like the way motion gun effect was just really cool. I mean, you know, they did, like I said, it was just really done well. For almost exactly followed the plot for the original. And it's shorter to watch too, because you're talking a 2-3 hour movie versus episode after episode. Which I think you can find, the original Star Blazers, English dub on, I think it's on YouTube. You might have to do a little digging, because it's just people throwing it up there and, you know, YouTube squashing it when it finds it. Because I think Sunbow or somebody here still owns the rights to it, of course. But and it would also be worth picking up as a Blu-ray or a DVD to me. Actually, I just picked up one. I was on Amazon. I said, "Well, I wonder if this is on Blu-ray," and I found it from 1985, the movie Rad, which is a BMX movie, and probably one of the first ones I went and saw on my own. When I was in high school, we used to ride our bikes up to the mall and go watch movies. Back when movies
pay
were cheaper.
Once and then spend the whole day going from theater to theater watching all the movies.
Yep. Well, yeah, there was days when we would watch more than one movie. I mean, we wouldn't go. Me and my brother paid for them because we either save money from the winter. What we do? That's when we were in high school in the Philly area. We used to go whenever there's a major snowstorm. We'd go shoveling people's walks. We would give them a set price. We'd say pay what you want, because there's like always an old lady or something that we would just practically do for nothing, you know. But we'd save up enough money, we go hit the local pizza joint, mom and pop store, get lunch, and then we go across the street to the hardware store and buy some street hockey gear and play street hockey for the rest of the day. I don't ever see kids doing that anymore. I mean, there was a couple, that would hit us up at the old house, but nothing here. But yeah, we're getting to the bad time of the year where there's not going to be much new on, except for Strange New Worlds is coming out again.
Well, so that'll give me a chance to catch up on things.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm never going to get completely caught up.
The Shulker series is coming out, I think.
That too, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah, that's interesting me much more than Andor did. But
what series?
Ahsoka.
Ah.
Ahsoka Tano with
Don't worry, Bo-Katan will take over that one too.
Probably.
Roxanne Dawson.
She was in the live action Josie and the Pussycats.
A long time ago.
It was a long time ago.
She was in Boba Fett with the episode with
she was.
Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, she was. Yep.
She's been in a lot.
And she did
for a long time now.
I think did she do the original cartoon voice on Clone Wars? I don't remember if she did or not. She worked out. I mean, she plays the character just, you know.
Yeah, and she's under 50 pounds of makeup.
Right, well, that too, but yeah. Yeah.
I need to see who this actress is. Starring Rosario Dawson. What has she been in? Men in Black 2. Yeah, she was the girl from Men in Black 2.
Yeah,
Clerks she was, 2. She was the in light, Clerks 2.
Yeah, she was the light of Zartha, I think.
Right, yes, that is correct. And Josie and the Pussycats, she was one of the Pussycats.
Yep.
She was in Death Proof. Percy Jackson. Unstoppable.
She's been in a lot, but I don't know if she's ever been a lead, per se. So this will probably be the first time that she, I think, is lead in her show.
But yeah, she really has been in a lot. I'm have to look this up here.
Right.
Sin City. She was in Sin City.
When you got Sabine Wren is in the show too. Oh, Hayden Christensen is back as Anakin. Oh God.
He was in Obi-Wan Kenobi, wasn't he?
Yes.
Or Kenobi?
In a Darth Vader's costume, maybe. But I don't think he was.
I thought they had a couple of scenes with him in it.
It might have been a flash. No, actually, there's one I think that you might have seen him without the Vader suit, and that might have been in either Boba Fett or season 2 of The Mandalorian, because there was a scene where Grogu was a youngling when Anakin came into the temple, and I don't remember if he's in that scene or not. I do remember Grogu being scared out of his wits, but. The Grogu suit, though, was pretty cool in Mandalorian.
Yeah, I thought that was cute.
Yeah, me too. No, no, no. Yeah.
Oh, she was in Daredevil. And Jessica Jones and Luke Cage and Iron Fist and the Defenders.
Yep. Oh, Lars Mikkelsen is playing Grand Admiral Thrawn. Wait a minute. If you look in the Ahsoka Tano cast, and then you click on Lars Mikkelsen, there's actually a picture of him as Thrawn, and he is blue with red eyes. just like he was in the book.
Well, I don't care about any of that shit. Because Jedi Survivor comes out.
Jedi Survivor.
And I'll be playing that.
Oh, the game. It's
oh, she
game.
Was.
Yeah.
She was the reader for Artemis by Andy Weir. She did a really good job with that one. There's no more books.
Everyone should do more books. Audiobooks.
So every like book's an audiobook?
Yeah.
Well, they're going to fix that with AI here in the near future.
Yeah, right?
All our favorite actors won't have jobs no more.
Well, according to some fools. Oh, and I did get, and actually this probably might interest Dan some, is the Google Bard. Which is their AI engine. They finally released an API for it. So I don't know how easy it will be to use, but there you go.
Well, we got to start wrapping this up, man.
We do. It's a little bit after
it's
10.
It's bedtime.
It's getting late.
Yes, it is.
And it's way too windy to go for a bike ride.
Actually,
question for
gotta...
you, Joe. Do you have one of those, I don't know, I don't
Peloton?
Know what you call it. One of those, it's not a harness. I don't, something that you can hook up to your bike that you could just ride it inside.
Yeah, I do. But you need an axle for it, and I only have one tire with the right axle for it, and that tire had a bunch of, spokes break. Now I could switch that axle over to one of the other ones, but I don't want to get on that with a mountain bike because the tread from a mountain bike would be really loud and it would also wear off really quickly using that.
Oh, okay, just curious.
So I actually have two because I ended up buying one for a really good price and then we ended up getting one as a Christmas gift. So I need to get that wheel fixed, but I bought the tool to pull the hub off, and I could not get it to work on that hub, so I'm going to have to take it to a shop and let them do it. The rain's coming down pretty good now.
Well, there you go. Stay safe.
Oh, you got rain now? Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I have friends, my good friend who I first met at church. His parents are moving down to Arizona, and they're selling their golf cart, and I'm kind of tempted. Because that seems to be the Grove City thing to do, is go ride around in a golf cart for some stupid reason.
Well, you don't want to pull out the car because you got one too many DUIs.
Well, so, it's technically illegal then, too.
But
in Ohio,
you're less
you
likely
have...
to get pulled over and carted.
I don't know if that would be true in Ohio or not. I know.
I don't know.
You have to have it inspected at least once, and you do have to put a tag on it in Ohio. So there's that. But they want like $4,000 for it, and I'm like, $4,000? I might as well just go get a beater car.
Yeah. Well, right now it's difficult to even find a beater car at that price.
Well, that's true.
When the engine turns over.
Right. But yeah, there's that, and I keep threatening to take my Traverse over to the dealer and trade it in for a Silverado, because I want something that can tow a camper.
Makes sense to me.
Well, it's like, well, she's like, well, why don't we buy an RV that you can drive? And I'm like, you do know how much them damn things cost, right?
Right.
As much as my old house.
You'd have to make another kid and sell it.
Yeah. Well, then you'd have to buy the T-bar or a dolly to tow a vehicle behind it, because you're not going to drive the camper when you're going, like, when you want to go fishing from the campground.
Right. Right. When you got to go get supplies from the store, you're not packing up the whole camper.
Yeah.
The whole RV.
That concept doesn't really... I haven't gotten her to figure that one out yet. That if I tow a camper, we can leave the camper there, take the truck, and go fishing, go do whatever we wanted to do, you know. But
go buy your fish and chips at a regular shop like normal folk.
I guess.
Don't get me wrong, I like fishing. I haven't been fishing in a really, really long time.
Yeah. It's been a couple of years for me. Although I think we did buy a license last year because we did go to Lake Hope, but we didn't do much fishing. It was kind of.
I think it's been like 20 years for me.
Yeah, we did more swimming and stuff then. So, all right, play us out, sir.
Pretty sure already.
Pretty sure what?
You already cut off the recordings, didn't you?
No, not yet. Here, I'm playing us out now. Here we go.
I am short.
Oh my god.
It's Hacker
Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
While you were making egg poo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yes, sir.
Oh.
Man.
At least tomorrow is Thursday. There's that.
Thursday.
I tried the yellow jacket or yellow bird nacho fries at Taco Bell.
Okay.
They're good.
Oh, you know what? I want to send a message out to somebody. Hopefully we'll listen. DFK, sorry I missed your. Messages on IRC. I will keep an eye out for him
next week.
Hopefully you'll be back.
Yeah, the yellow bird sauce supposedly has habanero in it. It didn't. It was spicy, but it was definitely not hot. Because it's supposed to have like ghost or habanero or ghost pepper. I forget which one. It was all right. I don't know if I get it again. Yeah, Yellowbird Spicy Habanero Ranch. That's for the TV series tie-in.
What TV series?
Yellowbird, I think.
That's what I know.
Or Yellow Jacket. I can't remember which.
It seems like
Yellow Jacket sounds familiar.
If you can have a hot sauce, don't make it a ranch.
Isn't
ranch supposed to cool?
Right?
So for a couple of shows there, Bill had stuff going on and wasn't able to make it, and then he came back.
You know what? That happens, you fire Bill.
But, right? Yeah, yeah. I tell you what, I'll just quit paying him and see if he notices.
That's right. You tell him. Unacceptable.
Yeah, because he gets paid almost as much doing that as I get paid doing this.
Hey, keep it quiet. I want Pat knowing how much you're making.
I'm not, you know, it's company policy. You don't talk about how much you make.
Next thing you know, Joel's going to want to get paid.
Yeah, that policy is supposed to be becoming illegal in the future. So in a year or two, hopefully you won't be able to say things like that to me anymore.
Say things like what?
You can't talk about how much you make.
Oh.
It'll be illegal. Matter of fact, some states are now requiring job postings to include the pay rate, which makes things so much easier.
To reject?
Yes. Because I love it when I get through a conversation and find out a job would be basically perfect, and I have more experience than they're looking for, and they only want to offer me 86. And it's like, really? Really?
I don't put out as regularly.
Well, for 86, I don't put out at all.
And it's a job that was like, what, 25 years?
Right.
Linux they want at least experience. 14 right, they want years with Docker, when it hasn't even been around really that long.
Exactly. And they want a crazy amount of experience. And some of them want relocation and some of them don't. And their excuse for how low the pay is, well, it's completely remote. Well, that doesn't change my cost of living. It would still be a rather huge pay cut. And I can't afford it now. That's why I'm looking for another job.
Dude, I'm telling you, man. We gotta get rid of the IRC channel because apparently it sucks donkey balls and we need to get over on IRCD.chat at the TCP direct channel for the real shit.
You know, I used to get on the IRC and I really don't anymore.
That's okay. Nobody's using IRC anymore, are they?
Not really.
Except me.
Except you. Do you ever receive any feedback on the IRC anymore?
Yeah, Murph usually shows up on the IRC.
Okay.
You know, sometimes other people.
Well, every time Murph shows up on the IRC, tell him to bring his ass on the show.
Murph usually shows up in the list. You know what I really gotta do? I gotta get the stream back up and running. Because people did like that, and I don't know what the hell happened. It stopped working. And I have no idea why.
What were you using? Icecast?
Yeah. I was using Dark Ice to Icecast, and it was working fine, and then one day it just, no sound, no audio, nothing. It just stopped working.
Like OBS? OBS Icecast, or?
What do you mean OBS Icecast? No, I wasn't running OBS.
Okay.
It was running off of Pi, and it was just Debian with Icecast. Installed.
You're just gonna have to start dumping this straight to YouTube.
Ah, disappointed. Disappointed in every damn thing.
Yep.
And I'll tell you what. I'll save it for the show. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. The easiest thing to do anymore is just to pipe it straight to YouTube.
YouTube has a streaming service for audio?
Well, basically the video is going to be a picture.
Of me.
Of whatever.
I can't get people excited while they're listening to the show. Come on.
And then you listen to the show.
Yeah.
And it's even got a chat over on the side.
That's true. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Wait, did YouTube... Who bought Twitch? Was that Amazon, wasn't it?
YouTube is owned by Google, so if you have a Google account, you have a YouTube account.
Right, but Twitch is Amazon?
I don't know.
Amazon acquired Twitch, yeah, in 2014. Oh. How you doing, Pat?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Doing all right. Weather getting nice up there?
It was weird. It was like, it was really cold, and then it seemed like we were going to get, like, you know, go to from winter to summer in 2 days' time. But then it got cold again, and now it's kind of normal now. It's 60s, which is really what it should be around here at this time of year.
It was really nice last week, and then all of a sudden you got a cold snap, right?
Yeah, yeah, but the last couple days it's been warming up a little bit. It's a little more normal.
Today was a nice day.
Yeah.
Well.
Not in Texas, huh?
No, Texas not so bad. Today was okay in Texas. There's some rain and some cold, but nothing too bad, like mid-40s at worst. But there's a lot of the country that's, you know, a little underwater right now, between California and the northern Mississippi River.
Time to start breeding crawdads down there then, right?
It's time to start filling sandbags, which is what a lot of people are doing. I mean, it's good that you're going to have less drought-like conditions, at least for a while. But you got to figure in a couple of weeks here, it's going to get real rainy everywhere else. Mm. Probably. Maybe. I ain't no weatherman.
What is the PlayStation Store thanking me for my purchase? What did I buy?
Don't click that.
No, it's a legitimate one.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Minecraft. I got a Minecraft subscription.
Did you?
Minecraft Realms. Another month, huh? Oh, it's a recurring subscription fee. I wonder who set that up.
Not you?
No, my daughter asked, the youngest asked my wife. That's how it works. That's how it happened. Now I know. Yep, there we go. I don't care. She loves it. She loves Minecraft. She does a lot of stuff. Gets all her friends over, or they don't even have to be over, and they all just go hog wild.
That's good.
She's doing more networking than I am.
Son keeps asking for Minecraft server.
Yeah, so they do the, I sound like an old man. They do the Minecrafts and they do the Fortnites. Not so much, what's the other one? Not so much Roblox anymore. It's been a while for Roblox, but she'll get on with her friends from school and stuff, and we'll all just like hang out for a bit. Then we'll go off and watch videos together. And then I bust in and say, why are you talking to a 60-year-old man online? And that's the way it goes, right?
Yeah. Well, 60-year-old men are kind of creepy.
Yes.
They all look like Joel.
It's like a hamvention. I met the 60-year-old man she talks to a couple of times. He looks just like a 11-year-old little girl. I don't know how he pulled it off. Calls herself Sophia.
He wished real hard.
That's it. Oh my goodness. Alright. Oh yeah, let's start the show. This is 1002! There we go!